And if his strength will labor, his promises are old. Thus far his love has led us, his love will lead us home.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. It's episode 130. It's great to be together. It's great to start out another week in God's Word and see what He has to say. A very, very warm welcome to you, whether you're watching live or watching afterwards on the video. It's great either way to be able to open up some of God's Word, isn't it? Well, before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day. We thank you for your infinite love for us. And we just pray that as we turn to your Word, that you'd help us to see beautiful truths today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're turning back to the book of Revelation. We've been working our way through the book, and we now find ourselves in Revelation chapter 6. So if you've got your Bible, if you want to turn with me to Revelation chapter 6, we're going to be looking at the first 8 verses. It's the first 8 verses. Now, I watched when the Lamb opened one of the 7 seals. And I heard one of the 4 living creatures say with a loud voice, like thunder, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a white horse and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the 2nd seal, I heard the 2nd living creature say, "Come!" And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that people should slay one another. And he was given a great sword. When he opened the 3rd seal, I heard the 3rd living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine." When he opened the 4th seal, I heard the voice of the 4th living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over 1/4 of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, and by wild beasts of the earth. Well, as we come to Revelation, most of us have probably been able to track pretty well up to this point. It's all reasonably clear, and it's probably around about here that you start getting a whole bunch of different views. In fact, it feels like it doesn't matter how many different views you hear, there seems to always be another way. And people are so passionate about it, aren't they? It's like, I have the way of understanding Revelation, and if you don't agree with me, people get really upset. And it's a bit of a shame, really, because, well, God's given us Revelation to feed us in the here and now. And sadly, we tend to lose sight of the beautiful food that God's given us, because we get so caught up with what we believe is to be a correct or an incorrect interpretation. We get so caught up with what is the view to have that we lose sight of the treasure that God has given us in the book of Revelation. And so it's good for us just to be reminded very briefly before we talk about some of the seals, just very briefly, how we approach the book of Revelation. And maybe you can remember all the way back to the very beginning of Revelation in chapter 1. But one of the main things we talked about is that it's a book of pictures, or it's like the movie version. Now, when you read a story, especially, I should say, when you read a picture book, when I read a picture book to my children, specifically to my 2.5-year-old, when I read her a picture book, I don't expect every single thing in the picture to necessarily exactly equal something, do I? And yet so often when people come to Revelation, they expect that every picture that is painted has to mean something specifically in today's history. The thing is, Revelation is given to us as a book of pictures. It's a picture telling the story of Jesus building his church and the gate of hell not conquering it. I've said that several times. We have to keep that in the forefront of our mind. But the important thing to remember is that we're not going to see things that correlate to our history. And that's because John's describing what he's seeing with his wording. John would never have seen tanks or the president of America, because those didn't exist for John. So John saw the things that God revealed to him and described them the best he could using his language. And that's why so much, like 75% of the book of Revelation, is taken out of the Old Testament, because John was well versed in the scriptures. He was Bible saturated. And so his description of almost all the events that he sees use Bible terminology. And that's just a wonderful encouragement to us. We should be the same, shouldn't we? We should be so saturated in the scriptures that when we come to understand, interpret, and explain things, we would do that using scriptural language. Like it's said of John Bunyan by Spurgeon, if you prick him, he bleeds bibline. He bleeds the Bible because he's so saturated with it. Oh, that you and I would be like that. That people could prick Logan and they would say the Bible would come out. But if we understand it in picture form, what that helps us do is see through the pictures and begin to see the overall picture. We stop worrying about the minute little details and start looking at the big picture that God is telling us. And as we look at the big picture, there will be some minor details which crop out and help us understand. And you see, whether you're a person like me in an art expedition or a person like my wife, you can be fed. You see, I go into an art expedition and I see a picture and go, well, that's a cool picture. Can I look at the next one now? Whereas my wife, she wants to stop and she wants to analyze it and she wants to look at the details and the finer points and the different things on there. You see, she wanted to be a curator. And so she's very, very interested in what's going on those pictures. And she tries to explain it to me, and I do my best to try and be enthusiastic about it. But I just don't see it. I just see a cool picture. But we both have joy in seeing the painted work. And Revelation is like that. Whether you approach it as someone who's done lots of study in it, or whether you approach it for the first time as we travel through it now, it's a book that's been given to excite your heart so that you would be filled with wonder at Jesus Christ. And some of us have the ability to look more in detail and understand more things. But if it doesn't result in us magnifying Christ, we've missed the point. Because that's always the point, isn't it? The point is always that Jesus gets magnified. Well, Jesus, in our passage today, begins opening the scrolls. We remember from last time that the Lamb, of course, was Jesus, and the Lamb picks up the scroll. He takes it from the hand of God. Of course, good example of why we understand these as pictures and not literal. God doesn't have a hand. But he takes it from the hand of God, and he breaks open the first seal. In fact, he breaks open four seals in what we read, didn't we? We get the four horsemen. Maybe you've heard of the four horsemen. It's everywhere. Bands have used it. Computer games use it. Movies use it. It's one of those very well-known things, the four horsemen. It's always to do with judgment. And so here we find the four horsemen, don't we? Verse 2, we see the first horseman who's in white. Now, don't get mistaken, it's not the Jesus who's riding the white horse that you might think of. No, this is one who's coming to bring judgment at this time. Jesus is busy opening the scrolls, and out comes this horseman. So the first one comes as a conqueror. The second one comes, verse 3 and 4, to cause war. So he takes peace from the earth so that people would fight amongst themselves. Verse 5 and 6, you get this interesting horse that goes forth and this voice that cries out, a quart of wheat for a denarius, Of course, a denarius was a day's wages. And 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine. In other words, this judgment is going to affect the work of people. And then the fourth horse comes out, and it brings with it, it's the name of the rider is death, and it brings with it famine, pestilence, and wild beasts. And you say, wow, this is an incredible judgment. This must be talking about a specific period of time. Well, actually, quite the opposite. You say, what? Well, quite the opposite. What Jesus is doing is showing John the reality of what actually he already knows, what John already knows. You see, John's already been taught this message before. I wonder if it rung any bells for you when this passage talks about famines and pestilences and wars going on. Can you think of any passages in the New Testament that talk like that? Well, if you turn to Matthew or Luke, you'll see it. Turn to Luke with me if you've got your Bible there. Luke chapter 21. You see, Jesus has already taught John this lesson once before. Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 5 to 9, reads like this. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left one stone upon another." The disciples ask, "When is this going to take place?" And Jesus says, "See that you're not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them." Now, listen to this. "When you hear of wars and tumults, don't be afraid, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and pestilences." You see, one of the big points Jesus stressed back then, and he's stressing again now, is that part of the judgment of God going on is happening right now. And right now, we see that through wars, famines, pestilences. We see the reality of our fallen world, and these things happen and must happen before Christ returns, but we shouldn't be alarmed. You see, at the time of John, there were possibilities of wars, there were famines, there were plagues and pestilences, far more severe than coronavirus, far more damaging, that wreaked havoc in their land. And some people would have been tempted to think that the end was near. And Jesus, back with his disciples, highlighted that these things are going to happen. These things are going to take place. But it's not yet the end. These things are always going to happen. But I will continue building my church. And so the wonderful thing is that in spite of wars and these different judgment types that are going to be going on in the earth, in spite of the reality of these seals being opened, Christ is still going to be doing his work. But you know, most wonderfully, who is the one opening the seal? It's the Lamb, isn't it? And so what John is meant to see is that all of these things going on around him are inside the control of God. Now, on Sunday at church in the evening, we looked at the sovereignty of God in the crucifix and in the crucifixion, how that gives us such great hope. If you check it out on the channel later if you haven't watched it yet. And in that, one of the things we saw was that since God was sovereignly controlling even the events of the death of Jesus Christ, how much more can we trust him with all the areas of our life? And so here again, John gets reminded, and you and I get reminded, that when we see wars and when we see tumults and when we see famines and when we see pestilences, when we see governments we don't appreciate, or when we see rioting in different countries, we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't be overly concerned. But we should rest, because Jesus is in control. He's the one with the scroll in his hand, popping those scrolls open so that everything happens in accordance with his will. Nothing takes him by surprise. everything is done by him. So let me encourage you with a great sense of peace. Wherever you are right now, whatever's going on in your life and whatever you're afraid of, it's within the scrolls or within the plans of the scroll that's in the hand of Jesus Christ. And that extends even to persecution, as we'll see tomorrow. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your truthfulness and your love. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in control of all of history and all of its plans. And we pray that as we continue to walk in the light of your wonderful grace, that you would give us hearts overflowing with hope and peace. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again. If you're looking for any other content like this, I encourage you to go to some of these websites and check out our stuff. It's all recorded there in different places. Otherwise, I will look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow, same place, same time, New Zealand Standard Time 4:30, where we will have our Westminster Wednesday. Otherwise, I'll see you back here Thursday for another daily devotion. Have a most blessed afternoon, and I'll see you tomorrow.